Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 21st, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Washington, D.C.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, also in Washington.
Actually, we recorded this last Friday, but this week we are, in fact, in Washington, D.C. at the Location Intelligence Conference. So Google announced new location services APIs, a new Google Maps, and a visual refresh of Google Maps at Google I.O. last week. There were lots of articles describing the changes from the mainstream media and the tech press and the geospatial press, but there was very little response from the geospatial community informally on Twitter and on other places where we hang out, except for two notable ones, both from ESRI, one formal and one informal. The topic today is who should or should not be excited about the changes in Google Maps and the APIs. We'll have a look at that question and more after a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine, already the global leader in geospatial technology news, has launched Directions Magazine India, featuring a weekly newsletter and topical webinars specifically about the growth of GIS in India. Point your browser to directionsmag.in today. And Directions will bring its Location Intelligence Conference to Brazil. On June 19, 2013, LI Brazil will be co-located with the Mundo Geo Connect Conference in Sao Paulo. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. Thanks, and be sure to tell a friend about Directions.
Now let's start with a quick rundown of what the announcements were for those who haven't had a chance to read about them. First up, there are three new APIs that are part of the location services offerings. There's Fuse Location Provider, which basically enhances location determination, makes it faster, uses less battery power. There are now tools to implement geofences for developers. There's a new service called Active Recognition, which gives a developer information about whether a person is in motion, walking, riding a bike, driving, or whatever. And the idea is that that can be used for a variety of things, not the least of which are sort of quantified self kinds of things, like how much exercise am I getting. So that's one set of announcements. There's also an update to Google Maps itself that changes how directions work for navigation. If you want to compare driving a car or public transportation or walking, maps are now customized based on your preferences and those of your friends on Google+. The map itself takes over the whole window, so there's no sort of table of list of results from your query. And there's a few other enhancements to that. And finally, there's sort of a visual refresh that updates the look of Google Maps. The base maps of tiles have been updated. The default pin is different. There's a new way that the windows look, and there's some changes to the looks of the UI and the controls. So those are sort of the main announcements that came out. So this all happened Wednesday and Thursday of last week. So Joe, what was the response that you saw in social media, on the web, from our community?
Well, very little. It kind of was one of those non-starters for a lot of people. And I think part of the reason for that was that, number one, these are more or less incremental changes. I don't see these as any huge changes to Google Maps. Number two, most of them were consumer-oriented, saving battery power, a refresh to the map, although I wouldn't understate that importance, and I can get back to that in a minute. For the most part, they didn't really have any true functionality that would relate to us in everyday GIS life. Consumer-oriented, a few interesting APIs, save the battery, but other than that, not a lot to say.
Now, why aren't these appealing to what we do every day in GIS?
Here's my take. These were somewhat incremental. However, I had to dig a little deep for some of the true applicability of these things. And I put a link in the show notes for what's called the More Than a Map Showcase. And it goes through some very interesting data visualization apps that they're showcasing. Some of it has to do with demographics. Some of it has to do with flight patterns, you know, global worldwide flight patterns. And again, these were demos. And I think what they were meant to do was to stimulate some sort of innovation on the part of developers to look at the data visualization opportunities. So on the surface, while Google was presenting a refresh and a couple of nice API changes and additions, I don't think they really promoted it to the degree that they could. Because when you look at some of the things that, for example, the machine recognition, how often am I walking, driving, whatever, I think if you dig a little deeper into that, you could extract some very useful information for spatial analysis. For me, when I looked at that, I said, you know what I'm really waiting for? I'm waiting for Google Business Intelligence, Google BI. Where's Google BI? The amount of information they are collecting would be an incredible killer app. And maybe that's in the back of the minds. Maybe we'll see Google BI come about. But on the surface, there just wasn't a lot to grab onto.
That's really interesting. And I hadn't thought of these enhancements in the context of just another way for Google to get more information about you. I mean, they're certainly positioned, certainly this new sort of customized map that's based on your preferences and your interests is presented as, hey, this is going to make your whole life better. But in fact, it's also a window to have Google learn even more about you.
Right. And why not expose that information? Realizing that most of it has to be anonymized. But if they were able to capitalize on that, you would render every demographic data company irrelevant, because this is real-time information. This is all the information you want from a consumer marketing perspective.
Right. Well, and I think you have to look at this from biggest user of GIS sort of in our world, which is state and local government and national governments. And yeah, for the most part, these all did seem very consumer-oriented, which is really interesting considering that this is Google I.O., the Google Developer Conference.
Yeah.
Right. So the big news for the consumer, in fact, most of the writing about these announcements is all about the enhancements to Google Maps.
Yeah.
Period.
But what if you went down that path? I mean, because I thought of a great local government application that they could take advantage of understanding traffic patterns and public transit behavior. Can commercial trucking or package delivery companies utilize Street View functionality, right? The better Street View imagery. And use the APIs for traffic analysis. Wow, that would be a tremendous way. But I didn't even see that mentioned. All we got was, here it is. Here's what it does. They didn't take it a step further.
Right. And maybe part of that, too, is Google finding its place as serving both the end user and the developer community. And you sort of have to talk to both of them at the same time, even if you're at a developer conference.
Yeah, yeah.
So but, definitely a challenge.
Yeah, but from my take, a developer sitting in that conference ought to come away saying, you know, Google's real strength here is search. And what they've done is really enhanced their searching capabilities, right? I mean, they present the information very well. You know, they've enhanced the when you click on an individual feature on a map, it brings up more information about that feature and then takes you to the next logical step, which is driving directions. So they've enhanced that part, which is what the majority of people use it for. So if I'm a developer, I'm saying, hey, good, they enhanced search.
I didn't see much response from people who in our community who I consider to be developers. They sort of didn't say anything about this. The only response I did see from the developer community sort of formally was from the ESRI Development Center in Portland. They sort of came out and reviewed the announcements from the developer side and spoke to why these matter to ESRI and why they're excited about them, which I think is the first time I've ever seen a formal statement from ESRI reacting to what another company in the same space had done. Is that about right? Have you seen anything like that before?
Well, not, only way back when Google Maps came out. Everybody was saying, oh, we love Google Maps. We're going to embrace Google Maps. I mean, that was, remember that? There was, you know, everybody said that. Intergraph, MapInfo, Esri, they all glammed onto it. When they finally figured out what it was going to do to their business, maybe their tune changed.
Right. So it was interesting to have had that response. And I'm curious to see how that moves forward, especially since one of the things that GeoLoci, which ESRI acquired to set up this new development center, offered was sort of battery management solutions.
Right.
Right. So now that's sort of in the underlying location services for Android. So how does that play out? I have to figure out which one is better, right? And use whichever one makes sense.
The other thing I was going to say was I assume that was part of the response for these ArcGIS Geo trigger services. Is that your understanding too? Do you think that Esri responded because they were using this as an opportunity to talk about their ArcGIS geo-trigger service?
Right, which is basically their implementation of geofences.
Right, right.
It definitely had the quality of saying, oh, hey, we already do some of these things if you had been paying attention. Yeah.
Yeah, because this first public announcement of the GeoTrigger service was April 22nd at the San Francisco Hackathon.
Right. And I think, for better or worse, the fact that Google is now using the word geofence, and we've talked about how that's something that's sort of new but really very old, that'll sort of, if you like, raise all boats that are in the geofencing space.
Right.
You know, which is pretty much everybody's got some. Google's sort of the last on board with that in some measure. The other response from ESRI wasn't from ESRI formally, but from Kenneth Field, who's a pretty well-known cartographer at ESRI. And he went in depth on this whole idea of a personalized map coming back when you do search. And he basically highlighted the fact that instead of having something, and I'll put objective in quotes, you're now getting something that's molded to you and may keep you in the little box of the little world that you're creating for yourself, as opposed to highlighting things that may be out there that are outside of your realm. Different opinions, if you like Chinese food, that it's not going to show you. Korean food, things like that. And I thought that point was really well taken, and I was pleased to see that folks are, at least some folks are really thinking about the implications of these changes to Google Maps.
Yeah, well, if you want to remain in the Google bubble and do everything, you know, with Google Maps, this is your opportunity to even more completely get useful information. And I want to read a quote because I thought it was significant. It came out of the Wall Street Journal. And it says, Google Maps is a strategically important asset for Google, with mapping becoming one of the most used aspects of mobile devices as people navigate to home and businesses. Google also generates revenue from the many of the more than 1 million businesses that use Google Maps on their websites and applications. I think intuitively we knew that before, that Google Maps was important to Google. I think it's even more important now with some of these changes. It goes back to some of the issues I think we raised in last week's podcast, which is Google Maps the de facto national map, taken from a consumer perspective?
Yes.
People use it intuitively. Yes, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's right. That's where we are. So you are in the Google bubble, and you have adopted that platform as helping you do what you think you need. So is it scary? Well, that's your choice.
Right, but it's worth noting that, again, if you are logged in, you're going to get this specialized Joe Francisca version of Google Maps every time you search, just the same way that you currently get Joe Francisca special searches every time you search.
Right.
And it's sort of encroaching now from search over to this other platform. So my last question is, should our community be more interested in what Google is doing? I mean, either from a where mapping is going to a, is this the right platform for development for me, to is there going to be data for me that from Google that I'm going to want to tap into at some point?
Well, I think the answer is yes to all of those. I think the developer community ought to be more interested. Well, they already are, right? They're already looking for these latest developments. They want to see what Google is going to put out there. I still think these are incremental changes, and I think they're huge. The GIS community has always used Google Maps as that backdrop. I contend that there is more to get out of it, and I think that Google will eventually expose more. But I wouldn't discount what it did on the refresh to the visualization. I think that that's important. It even said it in the Google Maps blog, because it shouldn't be overlooked. It said, and I quote, "The quest to build the perfect map will never be over." Well, there they are. They're building the perfect map for us. And so what the GIS community ought to be aware of is, are you by default just accepting what Google does in the enhancements, the visualization aspects, as opposed to building your own, which I think was what you were getting to in the last part, which is we ought to be innovating ourselves, not just taking the default, which is at this point Google Maps.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
From us here at Directions Magazine, we have a number of upcoming webinars to tell you about. One, Perspectives for a National GI Policy for India. That will be on May 24th. And on June 5th, we have one sponsored by Oracle called Cloud-Based Location Analytics Using Oracle Spatial and Application Express. For more details, go to directionsmag.com/webinars.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can tweet us at directionsmag, or you can leave a message where this podcast is hosted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.